We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute ball fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. Well, we have four keen players, and they're going to try and speak, if they can, as usual, for just a minute, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, can you talk on the subject about what gives me the horrors? 60 seconds starting now.
Noise, generally. It's the thought of her which can cover a multitude of sins, I know. But one of the worst kinds of cacophony I could ever envisage. Sort of shouting and bawling that goes on in what are loosely termed public demonstrations, but which are in reality nothing more or less than an excuse for a load of hooligans to shout the odds. And I loathe and deplore. It reminds me of the worst aspects of barbarism, including Nazism. They rush about saying these pile, and these other people go so and so out, so and so out, 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 out. And they fall all the way down the street. My mother and I were going along the street one day, and we couldn't hear ourselves speak.
Peter Jones, who was sitting next to Kenneth, very kindly put his hand over his mouth to stop him, because a long time ago you were challenged.
You're supposed to speak for 60 seconds.
I know, but when you're
doing my best here, aren't I? I'm always grateful.
You're also supposed to stop speaking when a challenge occurs.
What was his challenge?
Sheila Hancock's challenge.
Well, I've forgotten the word when you go off the point.
He's forgotten.
Deviation. No, I think he's deviating, because you really can't have the implication that all demonstrations are the Nazi, vile things.
No, but he wasn't, but he said this is what gives him the horror.
Yes, but his implication was that all demonstrations have people shouting and bawling.
Well, I got the impression...
Peaceful demonstrations.
Oh, well, Sheila, yes, Sheila, I got the impression from what he said, that particular kind of demonstration.
Thank you.
No,
absolutely. What a very good chairman. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very good point.
Yes,
thank goodness there's some democracy left with somebody like him in the chair. Yes.
Wait, another 10 minutes from now, it'll all be reversed, you see.
Exactly.
Anyway, I've given it in your favour, Kenneth.
Thank you, Nicholas.
So you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, there are 27
seconds. You combine dignity with fairness. Now, sir.
I'm waiting for when the colour changes. There are 27 seconds left. You continue with what gives me the horrors starting now.
And another thing that I can't stand is footsteps.
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition of can't stand.
The correct challenge. You get a point for that. You have 25 seconds. What gives me the horrors starting now?
What gives me the horrors of being alone in a haunted house very late at night?
Sheila Hancock.
What is a haunted house?
I have little idea.
Doubtless you've been alone in one.
Deviation of grammar, pronunciation, and haunted houses. Sheila, correct challenge for you. 20 seconds are left. What gives me the horrors starting now?
What gives me the horrors are cockroaches. Great, big, black people. There is a theatre in London.
Deviation, you see. You can't have great and big. You can have one or the other. You don't want great and big. You can one where it's
you
big.
Can. You can have... You can...
It's bad language here. Anyone would say that it's bad language.
Kenneth, in order to keep going in just a minute, I definitely think that one will is allowed to use colloquial phrases, even if it is a little ungrammatical.
That's shut him up, hasn't it?
Yes.
15 seconds to continue on what gives me the horror starting now.
There is a theatre in London which is absolutely overrun by these creatures. And one particular night, I had to go on stage and open a cupboard and exclaim with delight about the contents therein. And there I saw six large people.
Well, as our regulars know, who with a whistle is blown by Ian Messiter, which tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Sheila Hancock, who has a strong lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? Nice to hear from you, Peter. How are you?
Hello, Nicholas. Well, I'm not too bad, really. It's nice to see so many of Kenneth's relatives here.
Peter, the subject that Ian thought of it is my great-great-grandfather. There are 60 seconds and you start now.
Well, my great-great-grandfather, I'm pleased you mentioned him. Doubtless you've read about him in the National Dictionary Biography. He was a well-known plumber and designer of sanitary fittings in the middle of the last century. And he was one of the people who blazed a trail with that sort of terrace filigree shower type Pickens.
Kings William's this chap.
An awful lot of earth.
That's all right there. I think the earth would come under the heading of hesitation.
I think you would be right. So there are 35 seconds for you, Kenneth, after a correct challenge on my great-great-grandfather starting now.
My great-great-grandfather came from a place in Wales, and I believe he was something to do with boats. But my mother and my other... No.
Sheila Stella.
Hesitation.
Yes, Sheila, you have 23 seconds now on my great-great-grandfather.
I honestly haven't the faintest idea who my great-great-grandfather was, but I have a fantasy that he was probably...
Derek Nimmer has tried.
Well, there must have been eight of them for the start, mustn't there, really? And one of them must have been called Hancock.
Yes, but she wasn't talking about his name. She conveyed to me that she didn't know him, so therefore she wasn't deviating from the subject. So she has 17 seconds.
Anyway, there'd be 16, wouldn't there?
Who asked you to put your oar in?
Already pronounced judgment. You can't stay with a chair.
17 seconds, Sheila, starting now.
I fantasize that he was a descendant of Mary, Queen of Scots, and therefore an illustrious character, and I have royal blood running in my veins. Also, he was a man with bright red hair.
Derek Nimmer has jumped.
Hesitation, she's packing up.
Right. Backed up 3 seconds too early, because, Derek, you have 3 seconds to take on the subject of my great-great-grandfather starting now.
George Gabbity, and he went out to New Zealand on a clipper.
Derek Nimmer was then speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now in second place, and Sheila Hancock still in the lead, and Kenneth Williams in third, and Peter Jones in fourth, respectively. The next subject is Wales, and Derek Nimmer, would you start? 60 seconds, starting now.
The excitement of being out on a whaler right across the ocean, with a spear in your hand, looking for the great monster to come out to the sea. A sperm whale I see. Ho, what ho, I cry. And there I climb onto the deck, and Moby Dick arrives too. What a splendid chap. He's called that because he actually captured the whale back in 1874. It's knocking on a bit now, but it doesn't show. And then I saw on the ocean far...
Moby Dick didn't capture the whale at all.
I know, but the name I don't call Moby Dick because he captured the whale. It's a bit of a
work which is written by Herman Melville, and you're completely misleading me.
What is your challenge?
He repeated ocean. Deviation. Herman Melville never wrote the character, and he's using his name, his character, to mislead these good people.
Well, I got the impression that he called this whale Moby Dick, though it wasn't the Moby Dick of the novel.
There's only one Moby Dick.
Very good chap.
There are 37 seconds for Wales still with you, Derek, starting now.
Sam Dudley was a place which I used to spend a lot of my holidays out of Charles, climbing the Great Orme. What a splendid mountain. Have you ever popped up to the top of it? I ask the audience. No, they don't reply. But there I could see across the sand, and often my granny, dear old lady that she was, was sitting making sand castles or chateaus of Saab, as they say in France, amongst the pebbles.
Peter Jones has shut.
He's deviating. I mean, first of all, Len Dudner, now he's in France, nothing to do with Wales at all.
Well, he was, I...
Rambling, practically raving, if you ask me.
Which, of course, is what one does in this program. But I will give you the benefit of the doubt, Peter, and say that you have 12 seconds for Wales, starting now.
Wales, yes. I was thinking of those mammals that are much sought for the tusks and all the other things. Blubber.
Derek Nimmer's
deviation. They don't have tusks.
Sea elephant.
Is that what it is? Yes.
4 seconds on Wales with you, Derek, starting now.
Wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what I heard in Jerusalem. My goodness, what a fearsome cry.
Derek Nimmer showing us that he travels. He took us all around the world, and he's got a lot of points. He's in the lead, one ahead of Sheila now. Mm-hmm. Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin. Mm-hmm. Computers. Can you talk on them for 60 seconds, starting now?
Computers have become the bane of my life. I used to enjoy getting personal letters from the gas board, but since then they've had this Mr. Computer take over, who obviously every time he gets anything from me, a little message goes inside his body saying, let's rip it up and get it into a muddle and send her back a letter saying she hasn't paid her bill, with the result that I get a repetitious note from the gas.
Derek Nimmer,
John. Well, sort of between repetitions and
repetitions. Yeah. I was about to repeat letters, you see.
Yes. And so Derry got in first with the challenge. He has 34 seconds to take over the subject and talk on computers starting now.
My great-great-grandfather, who lived in Wales.
Sheila Hancock.
Repetition of plate.
Oh, yes.
Yes. 30 seconds, Sheila, after your good challenge on computers starting now.
Another aspect of modern life in which these computers have come into being is the...
Seconds on computers starting now.
Two and three make five. It's something which you can work out quite easily yourself. But when I'm given a computer, which I have one, a little funny thing at home, which I have to press buttons, which I find terribly complicated, because
Peter Jones has done.
He hasn't got a little computer. He's got a calculator.
That is perfectly correct.
Oh, really? I don't know
the
computer.
No.
Well, you learn something every day. It's all a good one.
And you have computers, Peter. You have 15 seconds starting now.
They're very useful because people are able to blame them like they used to blame the war. I had a telephone bill for £75,000. And I said, well, it's not right. Can't. It must be wrong. They said, well, a computer says you've got to pay. And I said, well, my computer says I'm not going to. And they said, well...
Peter Jones, speaking then when the whistle went, gained the extra point and is moved into third place. And Derek Nimmer still in the lead. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, help. Can you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Perhaps the most noble kind of help ever given on this earth to the fellow human beings surrounding is that from the nurses. I think particularly of those wonderful words, patriotism is not enough. There must be no hatred in my heart for anyone. And that is inscribed to the base of the statue commemorating Edith Cavell. One of the most noble, the help that lady gave to countless hundreds cannot possibly be overestimated. And you think of Nightingale in much the same fashion. When apropos the Crimea, she journeyed sometimes on pack mule, sometimes... Who's happy?
We were enjoying
it
so much. Didn't we enjoy it?
Never mind that. Who got it? Who had it first?
Sheila Hancock. Me, sometimes.
You wicked girl.
I don't care.
You
repeat sometimes.
Also, you've got to be fair. We are also playing just a minute.
Yes.
And you repeat it sometimes. And Sheila was rough to challenge. And she has a point. And she has 7 seconds on help starting now.
Yes, it
does. If I can help somebody as I pass along, even though it be Kenneth Williams, I will try.
He's going to your turn to begin. The subject, a load of old rubbish. Can you talk on that for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, I have appeared in a number of those in several different mediums. But I remember about 20 years ago, I went to an auction and I actually bought a load of old rubbish for about 50p. Well, it was exactly that amount.
Derek Nimmer,
exactly that amount.
No, he didn't actually say it. He recovered very well and you got in too soon.
Ah,
there are 46 seconds for a load of old rubbish, Peter, starting now.
The item that I really wanted to have was a picnic set with plates, knives, forks, and a singing kettle. But it also contained about 40 milliners' heads, which were made of wood.
Why, I've never heard of a kettle that sang. I think it's absolutely right.
Yes, it sort of whistled and sang.
That's a different matter entirely. Now he's only to whistling. Deviation.
Well, some people do refer to whistling kettles as singing kettles.
Of course they don't. They want their heads singing
too. Well, all I can say is
true. I've never heard it wrote in my life.
Kenneth,
put a kettle on,
all I can say is...
From all of my life. You great fool, I am.
No, I'm going to give Peter the benefit of the doubt, because people do talk about whistling kettles or singing sometimes. There are 35 seconds, Peter, on a load of old rubbish starting now.
There were a number of carpenter's tools, a kitchen table, and 3 small chairs, all for this amount that I'd paid, which...
Kenneth Williams,
I'm afraid amount has already been said.
The word you searched for last time we've got just is come up again. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge, and you have 26 seconds on a load of old rubbish starting now.
This is what is taught by everyone on this panel apart from myself.
Only for me.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Deviation. He talks more rubbish than anybody.
Do I judge on that one?
You've got a partisan audience. You've got a break here.
I don't know who speaks most rubbish. I think I speak the most rubbish. So I'll give a... Oh! And as the audience have agreed with me, I will give a point to you for a correct challenge and a point to him for an incorrect challenge and say that he keeps the subject. And he has 21 seconds on a load of old rubbish starting now.
This is how one of the most eminent critics of London described the production that once went on of The Bohemian Girl, because it contained behind an arras a hidden orchestra, and the gentleman who was the leader of the violin couldn't start in time because Beecham, who was controlling the baton, could not be seen from his point of view in the theatre.
That wasn't a load of old rubbish. It was delightful. Kenneth, you were speaking when the whistle went. You gained an extra point. You're now equal with Peter Jones in third place. You're 3 points behind Sheila Hancock, who's one behind our leader, who's still Derek Nimmo. And Derek, your turn to begin. And the subject, hope. Can you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
Faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity, or in the new English Bible, they now say love, which is a much better expression, I think. But one thinks perhaps also of the hope diamond that has brought such misfortune to people throughout the world, taken from the idol's eye in India, and through the family of hope, destruction was brought upon them. And the interesting thing is that it was finally given to the charge of President Nixon, and perhaps this contributed to his downfall, who knows. But we must revere these curious superstitions.
Peter Jones, you're challenged.
I don't believe it was given to President Nixon.
All right, Derek, the challenge was incorrect, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
The fairest cape in all the world, Sir Francis Drake called the thing about that I just mentioned.
Who? Sheila Hancock.
Well, it was a sort of hesitation.
I would say that was hesitation. Yes, Sheila, you have a point, and you have 17 and a half seconds on hope starting now.
I think hope is one of the necessary things of life, especially at the moment when things are black, because without it...
Derek Nimmo, there's too many things. But 12 seconds, no, 11 seconds on hope, Derek, starting now.
Oh, I hope it's going to be a lovely day when I go outside this theater, because I know when I came in, the sun was shining, the birds in the air, and I thought I am filled with hope for the future. Nothing bites an artist.
Derek speaking when the whistle wends again has increased his lead at the end of that round. Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin. The subject, brandy. Would you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
Brandy is one of the delights of life, in my opinion. There is nothing nicer than to have a large glass filled, not filled, actually.
Derek.
Well, not filled twice.
You said something. You mustn't retract it. There are 50 seconds on brandy with you, Derek, starting now.
One has drunk brandy in various parts of the world. But I think the nastiest that I've ever drunk was on something called the Ilha do Sol, which is an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And there it was disgusting beyond belief, and it was 5-star. And my tummy turned over in a jumbo jet as I took off again. Sometimes, though, in Greece, one can drink a particular flavour of brandy.
Sheila Hancock.
Oh, I'm getting awfully bored of this world tour we keep having.
Yes, yes, I agree. It's just a flush. It's just a flush.
I think he's working for the tourists.
I know.
Now, an incorrect challenge, and you can carry on.
Derek, you have 22 seconds on brandy starting now.
Down at the George and Dragon in Balham, you can get a very nice glass of brandy. And I remember last Tuesday, I filled 4 of these receptacles with this muck and shoved it down my throat. And I was happily...
Repetition of throat. Yes. We had to throw it before. You said it before, I'm afraid.
Yes. You two work as a team now.
Well,
there are 10 seconds on brandy, Peter, starting now.
Well, the best kind is made in cognac, of course. This other stuff.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Well, that's not brandy, it's cognac.
You can call any cognac brandy, but you can't call any brandy cognac.
That's a very good point, you see. I
very good point. Very good.
The point of the team over there. I quite agree, Peter. Just what I was going to say. So you have 5 seconds on brandy starting now.
And there are 3 areas divided in this small...
So, Peter, you've got a point then. Speaking when the whistle wends, you are 1 point behind Sheila, who's 3 points still behind our leader, Derek Nimmer. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. Oh, lovely subject. Getting ready for breakfast. Just a minute to talk on it, starting now.
I adore getting ready for breakfast. I leap out of bed, have a shower, and then I go downstairs into the kitchen and I prepare these vast quantities of food. Great flagons of cream with porridge and smoked bacon, sausages, kedgeree, grilled peppers.
Deviation, knowing Peter as I do, I just don't believe this.
Well, it's not the game since it's got to be true. You've got 60 seconds.
Well, this is the trouble. Whether
it's not my fault you've ever stayed for breakfast.
He wasn't
deviating. I will.
He wasn't deviating from the subject. We're all going to Peter for breakfast. He's got enough food for the whole family.
Exactly.
Peter, you have 43 seconds on the getting ready for breakfast starting now.
Deviled kidneys are a particular speciality of mine, and I adore having these great silver hubbers.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Have it in a break.
Yes, you had this great round of food before, and now you've got the great silver covers. There are 35 seconds getting ready for breakfast, Derek, starting now.
Oh, golly, I do enjoy getting ready for breakfast. I have a workout with my Indian clubs first to put me in the right kind of frame, physically and mentally, to consume this great feast. Now, what is wonderful about these French, they draw up this mission, they say le petit déjeuner, make it rather informal. We say break fast. How round of it sounds, and how beautiful the toast is that follows when it's done slightly turned. Shut up, Kenny.
And then, Sheila Hancock.
Deviation. Shut up, Kenny. It's not
That's not fair. That's not fair. He was provoked. I couldn't help laughing, therefore he was provoked.
Well, everybody.
Can't blame him for that. The poor boy. I won't let him blame for that. It's not fair.
Everybody gets provoked in this game. There are 9 seconds, 8 seconds, Sheila, on getting ready for breakfast with you, starting now.
Unlike the gentleman on the team, my preparations for breakfast are total chaos. The baby usually wakes at 5:30. I have her tucked under one arm.
Well, I've just received a message that we have no more time, so we have now to wind up with the game, and let me tell you what the final score was. Well, Kenneth Williams, who did very well, and he certainly contributed a great deal, but he still finished in fourth place, but he was only 3 points behind Peter Jones and Sheila Hancock, who were equal in second place, but they were some considerable way behind this week's winner, Derek Nimmer. Hope you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
Of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.